ball spark.
You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We're actually going to hit the baseball playoffs today. Huge game five in San Francisco. Got some trivia for you, Jared.
Well, I will fail.
Coming up with the baseball playoffs.
Once my Rangers hit 100 losses, I completely turned off baseball. I hung on that long.
That was quite a while. Longer than probably most.
Yes. That's a true fan for you.
The ALCS is set. It'll be Boston and Houston. And then the NLCS, will it be a rematch? Atlanta is there. Will it be the Dodgers again? Or can the Giants come away with the win? That series between those two AL West foes, tied 2-2. They played 19 times in the regular season. The Giants won 10. L.A. won 9 by a total of 2 runs in 19 games. It's crazy how close these two teams are. But it's a winner-take-all Giants-Dodgers. This has happened before, just not when they were at California. It's a little
it's crazy after all this time it hasn't happened in California.
1951. It's where we're headed.
Going way back.
Do you remember? You have an idea of where I'm at here?
No.
Okay, don't be Googling it up. We're going to talk about
it. Oh, okay.
High school football tonight. I know it's Thursday, but it's fall break week. So, Thursday night, high school football. Elk City hosts Weatherford with the Eagles coming to town, limping in. 0-3 in the district, 3-3 overall. The Elks 5-1. They're 2-1. In district play, we'll talk about that game, the rest of 4A1. Also, Merritt's going to host Moreland and the rest of A1. And some topics off the top, kind of some of it really media-related. Lincoln Riley has shut down media access for the rest of the week from his squad. You got the Washington football team email investigation has swept up Shefty.
Oh, not Shefty.
And then something I thought I would never, ever say in my lifetime, but the question has to be asked. Is Kyrie Irving about to become the most popular athlete in Middle America? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in. 225-9698. We might ought to mention the Thunder won an exhibition game last night because I don't know how many chances we're going to have throughout the next 6 months to say, "Hey, the Thunder won." So you better take that opportunity. The Thunder won last night.
There won't be a lot of that.
225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listing area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is kadsam.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. App has all things Paragon with the radio stations here in Elk City, KECO Cool 94 and us right here on KADS. Penny News is in the app. Check out this week's edition of the Penny News online, thepennynews.com through that app, or go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. They got back yesterday afternoon, spreading out all over the area as we speak. So check out this week's copy of the Penny News on your local newsstand as we speak. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, I mentioned those games tonight. The Elks and Weatherford be a 6 o'clock pregame for a 7 o'clock kick right here at Big Elk Stadium. And then out at Merritt, they're hosting the Moreland Bearcats. That'll be the same thing, 7 o'clock kick there out at Merritt. If you miss our show entirely, a couple ways you can find us on podcast form. One of those is on KADSAM.com. The other is iTunes. Find us on iTunes. Subscribe, and then you're alerted when the new podcast drops. How you doing, Jared?
I'm good. How are you?
Just wonderful.
It's a little hard for me to get up this morning because everyone else in my house, it's fall break.
I mean, same thing.
And they just slept in. My wife included. She took the day off.
Same thing.
I'm like, well, this isn't fair. Oh, well. Oh, well.
Same thing here. And I...
It's actually easier for me to get ready in the morning when I don't have to get everybody else ready in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now we're to the point in life where, you know, a 10-year-old can get himself dressed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but
sometimes you got to make sure that I've used this line numerous times now as he's gotten older. And try to, you know, everybody's had the dream where they went to school naked, right? We've all had that dream. We've heard of that dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And how it makes you feel. Well, I have told him as he's gotten older, starting last year really in the fourth grade and now for sure in the fifth grade, I have told him that dream is embarrassing. But you know what's more important than wearing clothes to school?
Smelling good?
Deodorant.
Yes.
Correct.
I agree.
More important than going to school naked is to put deodorant on first.
We all remember the stinky kid at school.
So put on.
You don't want to be the smelly kid.
That's right. So put on the deodorant before you put on your clothes. It's more important than clothes. I think that message gets across about half the time.
Yeah.
Going to be my guess. Somewhere around half the time. Getting higher a percentage as we move along, though, which is nice. But they're asleep. And so
I had to throw this at you, but you know, yes, it's, you said he's 10.
Yes.
And he's a he, right?
It's a he.
I think even if my 10-year-old girl, I'm still going to, it takes them longer, right? They got to comb the hair.
Yeah.
They got to pick out the perfect outfit. I mean, my 8-year-old is just now getting conscious of, should I wear this? Will this match this? What shoes should I wear with this today? What am I doing today? Oh, it's a field trip day. I need to wear this. I mean, it's just constant. What should I put in my purse? Should I put this? Can I bring this? No, you can't bring that. Why can't I bring this? It's just a, you know, then I got to help her comb her hair because.
You're going to school. Be sure you have your backpack. See, that's why I'm so glad that it's a boy.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I love my
I don't
girls,
know if I can handle that.
But it takes a little longer.
We have four questions, literally, before we can leave.
Okay.
Or as everybody's getting ready. Did you put on deodorant?
Good question.
Do you have your shoes on? Do you need to comb your hair? And did you fix your water jug?
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's four things. And those are four pretty simple things.
Right.
Except for, you know what gets in the way?
What's that?
The iPad.
No.
The iPad gets in the way.
Yeah, we probably ought to outlaw the iPad in the morning. Weekend only. That's what we tell them.
There you go.
Weekend only. And Friday nights or Friday after school, that's when the weekend starts, and they can jump on the devices. That's fine. But when it comes to the weekday, no, it's just not allowed.
No go.
There's some special circumstances. We, you know, there's just times where we're like, just pick up an iPad, leave me alone. But we try to limit that.
It's just the morning for him. Just gives him something to do while we're getting ready.
Oh, I see. Well, we let him watch TV, you
which
know,
is just you know, fine if you.
We tell him, hey, if you get ready, get go, your turn, stuff go turn down. On TV. Go watch Disney. Do what you know, you can watch TV. But there's nothing more infuriating when I say, have you brushed your teeth? Just a minute. No.
What have you been doing?
Now.
Yeah.
You don't have a minute. Let's go.
No, a minute has passed. It's gone.
But when they're asleep, like they were this morning, it's amazing. I mean, I get up and I throw my clothes on. I'm like, wow, I got time here. Then you text me. I'm like, well, I guess I should head into work.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, heading in.
So, anyways, it was a good, nice, uneventful morning so far.
Yeah, it was a good morning to sleep, too.
This weather, man.
With the fog rolling in, it's kind of a wet morning.
Feels like London, or what I'd assume London would feel like. I've never been to London, but it finally feels like October in Western Oklahoma.
Yes, it does.
Not against it.
I'm going to check out the National Weather Service forecast for today.
Yeah, well, how about tonight for the big game?
High of 79. Okay. Chance of showers between 8 and 2. 30% chance.
8 a.m. and 2 p.m.?
Nope, 8 p.2a.
Oh, my.
I saw the...
Are we talking showers or showers and or thunderstorms?
Showers and thunderstorms, but I just saw some of the local news channels, one of the local news channels, send out a map of where in...
Where the probability, highest probability...
The west side of the map, it was kind of right down I-40, like almost a trapezoid right down I-40.
Okay.
And the shape of the box, you know, trying to get a little north, a little south, depending on right where it happens. But the west side of that was basically Clinton. So it may be further. Maybe a good thing this game is at Elk City and not Weatherford,
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, a few years back is when this game between these two had the giant delay at halftime.
Right.
Didn't finish up until like 1 a.m. or midnight, something like that. It was a long night.
Oh, I hope we don't have that tonight.
Yeah. Because that was Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, we got to come back tomorrow morning
and
do a show.
Yeah, it's going to be weird to do.
And then I got to drive down to Dallas. Man, I want to be fresh.
Fresh.
Yes. I have not packed. Oh, just remember that.
You pack? Isn't that why she took off work?
Okay. Hopefully she is out of routine and not listening.
All right, let's get to it. Kyrie Irving, did you see what he said last night?
So I know he made a statement.
He has been in the news, obviously, for not taking the vaccine.
Right.
And that is causing him to not be able to play half the games. Now it's causing him to not be able to play any games for the Brooklyn Nets because they do not...
And thus not getting paid, right? Just to clear.
That's... an interesting one. I would assume not, but I don't know that to be 100% true.
Okay. Well, anyways.
But.
I just wonder how much that's, if he's not getting paid.
Yeah, he's not. Because
how long is he going to hold out?
He's not because it says this right here.
Okay.
Here's this statement, kind of quoting him. He says, "This is about my life and what I'm choosing to do. Financial consequences, I know I do not want to even do that. But it is reality that in order to be in New York City, in order to be on a team, have to be vaccinated. I choose to be unvaccinated. That was my choice, and I would ask you all to respect that choice. I'm going to just continue to stay in shape, be ready to play, be ready to rock out with my teammates, and just be part of this whole thing. This is not a political thing. This is not about the NBA, not about any organization. This is about what my life and what I'm choosing to do."
I respect that. I've always been about, you know, free will. Having the right to make your own decision. I've always been, you know, whether it's one way or the other, I've always been respectful of that. Yeah.
He says, "This is my life. I get to do whatever I want with this. This is one body that I get here. You're telling me what to do with my body. It has everything to do with what is going on in our world, and I'm being grouped into something that is bigger than just the game of basketball. I'm staying grounded in what I believe in. It's as simple as that. It's not about being anti-vax or about being on one side or the other. It is just really about being true to what feels good for me. If I'm going to be demonized for having more questions and taking my time to make a decision with my life, that is just what it is. I know the consequences of that decision that I make with my life. I'm not here to sugarcoat any of that." And then he went on to kind of answer questions about being mandated. He respects doctors, but he's not going to be mandated to do this and losing livelihoods. He talks about people being fired for making the same choice he is, which essentially he kind of has been. Andrew Wiggins sounded fairly committed at one point to staying this way, and then he got vaccinated, which, once again, his choice. You know, I don't know. Andrew Wiggins has made a bunch of money in his life, but maybe not the level that Kyrie Irving. Our guy Jonathan Isaac from down there with the Magic. You know, but he's not facing the consequences of being unable to play in Orlando like these two guys were, not just this one guy with Kyrie Irving. I think this is a fascinating, fascinating thing that's happening with a team that a lot of people think is the favorite to win the NBA title. And maybe, I mean, you said it the other day, I kind of tend to agree with you in that aspect. this might actually help him with him not being there, because then there's one less mouth to feed, one less pair of hands that have to be on the basketball, and you still have Harden, you still have Durant.
Ego to stroke.
That's right. Yeah. And so, but I think it's going to be fascinating that the Nets have made their choice. They're not going to let him play. So now what's their next choice if he indeed continues to stay away from the team?
Well, they don't. So we've determined he doesn't. They don't have to pay him. You don't pay, you don't get. I mean, you don't play, you don't get paid. So it's not going to hurt him financially, the Nets, that is. So I could see it just them sitting on him. You know, they're not forced to do anything with him. I could just see him just, all right, fine. You know, you're not playing. We're not going to pay you, but you're still contractually ours. And so they're not going to trade him just to help another team just because he's not going to play for them. I can see him just the Nets sitting on him. And just, you know, it's kind of like a player versus organization or, yeah, a league lockout. Who's going to blink first?
Yeah, it says if Irving misses, okay. He'll only lose the money he was due to play in home games and the two against the Knicks.
Right. In the state. I get it.
So he $17 million is what he's due to lose with those game checks from Brooklyn, the games at home, and then the games at Madison Square Garden.
Could you imagine holding out $17 million? I guess if you've made an X amount of dollars, I don't know how much he's made. I mean, that's a bold statement right there. Say, I'm willing to lose out on $17 million for my beliefs. Could you do it?
Man, it seems like an impossibility, right? Because
I think guys like you mentioned Wiggins.
What $17 million means to me and you right now, it's totally different than what it means to him.
That's what I'm
saying.
I'm trying to put it in perspective how we could understand it.
Right.
As, you know, if we...
I mean, half your salary is basically what he's missing out on.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, so right now...
But we live on our salaries, right? I mean, they've made so much
that's
money.
The,
he's made so much
it's
money.
It's a little bit the difference.
It's a difference, yeah.
So to this point, he has made $159.9 million. Counting... No. That's going into this year. Through the 2021 season, he'd made $159 million with another $35 due. So he's going to be $195, basically. $160 to $195 and $35. So $195 million. That choice is easier to make then. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's easier to make for a bunch of these guys, and you got to give him credit because he's the one doing it, which is just shocking, right?
It is.
That it's him. But in a way, it's not, though, because he's always kind of, you know, walked to the beat of his own drum. He's always had different thoughts about things. You know, the earth is flat. I mean, he said that in his past. I'm just saying.
I think he's come back on that.
He has. But I'm just anxious to see now how serious and how committed he is to this stance. Because you're starting to see people in high-profile positions, sports and outside of sports, try to turn the tide of some of this stuff that's going on, which meaning being forced by government entities to do things against your will.
Yep.
Everybody kind of gave up that thought in March of 2020. And then it was preyed upon the further into this thing that we've gone.
Right.
To take liberties at taking your liberties. And now with some of the airplane stuff, you know, some of the pilots, now Kyrie Irving of all people in the NBA. It's just interesting to see how long he can hold on to these thoughts. I can actually see him missing the whole season. And I can also see him going, never mind, I want to play basketball. Mm-hmm. Either or. But to me, because of all the money he's made, I don't necessarily think it's going to be a financial decision to jump back in.
I think he is completely content. I think he is fine with missing out on a season or even a half a season.
I do too. I really do.
I don't think he ever intended to play a full season. I don't think he ever intends to play a full season. Vaccine or no vaccine. That's just his character. That's what I said yesterday. We've seen this before from him in some form or fashion, and now he's using this as an opportunity. I don't say using it, but and I respect, like I said, I respect his statement. I'm totally for free will and allowing someone to make a decision on something. You know, I've always been for that. I mean, ever since March 2020. You want to wear a mask? Fine, wear a mask. You don't want to? Fine, don't wear a mask. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to frown upon you. I'm not going to criticize you either way. And I felt the same way about the vaccine. You want to get it? Fine, that's your choice. You don't want to get it? Fine, that's your choice. This is
but
Kyrie's.
There is a choice.
There's a choice. This is Kyrie's choice. And I completely agree with him. He shouldn't be forced to do something that he doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to something like this. I completely agree with it. But I'm telling you, he's loving this because, like, I don't have to play a full amount of games this season.
Yeah, him and everybody else. I mean, the load management stuff. There's literally two guys in the whole league that you can sit here and go, they try to play every game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Russ and it's LeBron. Outside of that.
How come the Players Association, if there is too many games, have they pushed back on that?
Money.
Right.
Money.
They want the money, but they don't want to play all the games.
There you have it.
Makes no sense.
And the
well, that just sums up the world.
And, you know, LeBron.
The workforce we have right now.
LeBron's forced to miss games, I think, because it makes sense for a guy that old and has that many miles on the tires. Because the ultimate goal is the championship, and you want to be healthy as you can.
I get it.
In the playoffs. In the last 2 years, for the first time in his career, he's shown some vulnerability to injury when it seemed like he was a machine for about his first, 15 or 16 years in the league. So it makes sense to make him do that. But he also, the one thing about LeBron that you have to commend is he always has an eye on the good of the game and growing the game. So you will never see him allowed
even if that means getting in bed with China.
Yeah, well, that's true too. But he'll never miss one of those ABC games when they start on Sundays.
Yeah.
Or a TNT game on Thursday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to miss any of them because he has that MJ thought of, somebody here has come to see me for the first time ever.
Right.
And I'm going to let them miss out on that.
Yeah. And I think ticket sales will wane when people start seeing the superstars not take that approach. Like, it's a 50-50 shot if I'm going to be able to see the superstar for Boston or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, like, yeah.
Man, I wanted to see this guy play. Yeah, the Thunder are horrible, but why did
LeBron and Russ are coming to town,
exactly,
or Steph or
exactly.
Whoever.
Oh, they're not playing?
Yep.
I just wasted this much money on a ticket.
Yeah, I think that's the one commendable quality about LeBron is he wants to play every game, and a big part of that is who's in the stands to watch him. All right, so Shefty, he gets tied up in this Washington football team email scandal. It's due to a lawsuit that's being filed between Bruce Allen and Daniel Snyder. Now with the discovery portion of it, 650,000 emails have been released. Well, have been made public, I guess. The only ones to this point that have started filtering out were the Gruden emails, which got him fired or resigned. And then now Shefty sends Bruce Allen back in 2011 during a labor dispute, sends him a raw story. I can't wait to get your idea on this because you're the newsman. So he sends Bruce Allen during a labor dispute the raw story, asking him, is it correct, before he sends it in to be published. On the surface, that doesn't necessarily seem like the worst idea of all time. I think two things are really the problem here. One, it was the entire story, as opposed to just, you know, an excerpt or just saying, hey, is this right? And two, it was during a labor dispute. And so now an quote-unquote unbiased journalist is looking like he's taking the side of the owners by asking for what could be a slanted opinion before he publishes his story.
Yeah, I got very many opinions about Adam Schefter and his reporting, but that right there takes the cake. He was basically sent it in to an owner to fact check it.
That's correct.
And the owner probably went in and go, well, I don't like this, even though it's true.
Well, no. We don't know if any of that happened. Whoa.
Allegedly.
We don't know if he changed the story or not.
Okay.
We don't know that. I mean, I guess you could take what he
sent.
Well,
that's what we're perceiving here. I mean, he sent it into an owner to look at a story before it goes.
It wasn't an owner. Bruce Allen was not the owner of the team. He was an executive with the Redskins then.
Right.
He didn't send it to a player.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, did Schefter not trust his sources, trust his facts? It just seems like he's more biased one way than the other. That would really irritate me if I'm a player. He took the side of the management during this labor dispute. How can we trust you? How can we trust talking to you about little things like free agency rumors and stuff like that?
Yeah. Once again, no one knows if he changed the story from what he said.
I understand, but we know how this works.
Well, we know the perception of how it works.
That's what I'm saying.
Somebody's going to go through what he sent and what was turned in, and we're going to find out if anything changed. My guess is it hasn't. Nothing has, or we'd already know that, right?
Right.
Because they've had a whole day to pick through both articles. And so let me ask you this then. If he just sent it and didn't change a word from what was sent, the raw article versus what was published, if it is the exact same thing, does that change your mind at all?
If nothing was changed?
If nothing changed. Not a single letter changed.
No, I mean, no, it doesn't change. It doesn't. Listen.
What if there's an email?
Okay, I don't care if it was changed. If it wasn't changed, the damage was done when he sent it to Bruce Allen.
Okay, now let me ask you this. What if he sent what he sent to Bruce Allen? There's an email that comes back saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, and Schefter didn't add it to his story and he kept what he had.
He's fired.
What do you mean? No. He didn't take the slant of the ownership side.
Okay.
No. Allen tried to influence him is what I'm saying. If Bruce Allen tried to influence him, but Schefter... Yeah.
Okay.
But he tried to influence him, and then Schefter goes, wait a minute, I trust my sources, not this. He's trying to get me to do what he's being alleged.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's commendable. I get that. Because in my profession, I've had that. I've had people contact me and go, what you did was wrong, what you said was wrong. It's like, no, my source is right because it's a court affidavit. I mean, come on. That's a fact. So... I mean, but if I were to say, oh, I was wrong, I will, redaction is the most damning thing in the world. You do not want to do that as a reporter. And
because you trust the sources you had in the original story.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think what this is all could be, for me, a moot point because he forwarded it to Bruce Allen. Whether it came back with red marks or not, to me, his intention of forwarding it to he did it. That to me is like anything that happened or didn't happen after that is a moot point to me. So because he leaned one way in a labor dispute when you need to be down the middle, unbiased reporting. I think clearly that shows he was not. That's me
now,
my opinion.
Okay, let me ask you this. What if, as they dig through these emails, he did the exact same thing with somebody on the other side?
Oh, I would hope
it just hasn't been found yet.
I see that. You know, he went to the Player Association president, whoever it was at the time, and did the same thing. Okay.
But don't we just figure Bruce Allen was his buddy? I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know what you. I know in the annals of journalistic integrity, he messed up clearly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But does intent matter? Because I don't necessarily believe he sent that to Bruce Allen with the intent of helping the owners. Right. I think that was his buddy. And it was somebody that he trusted within the, you know, all the sources that he has. He trusted him to tell him the truth. And that's why he sent it to him. I think this happens all the time.
And I've done that. I mean, I've done that to, you know, I won't name names, but I guess we'll call them sources or great people with integrity in the community that I report in Western Oklahoma that I've reached out to. Listen, I've heard this. and I got this. Is this true? And, you know, or what, you know, did this happen or did this not happen? Will this, and, you know, and then I'll get the feedback. Well, yeah, this is true in part. Actually, this, we had this many people respond to the fire, and, you know, not five.
Right.
We had 10. Okay, well, just thank you. You know, stuff like that. I get that, you know. Or
isn't it just simply going up the totem pole to try to get the to the highest right. level of, you know what I'm saying?
And I understand his intentions were good in a sense of getting the facts right. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But
the labor dispute aspect, though.
When it comes to a labor dispute,
right.
to the actual fact of what he's trying to report, that is where he can lose a lot of credibility with players.
Yeah.
And I hope that maybe he did go the other way. I mean, we got a lot of emails they're going to have to – there's a lot of emails they're going to have to shift through and swift through. But right now, it's not a good look. And especially after he made a statement yesterday saying it was too far.
Yeah, he said he went a step too far.
You know, and that doesn't help your credibility either.
No.
When you can't stand by how you reported.
Well,
when you admit, well, you know what, that was a step too far. You know, I always try to think 10 steps ahead before I report.
Yeah, but
he by no means
apologized for what he put out there.
No, he didn't. And it's all about, and listen, it's what it's all about, right? Getting it out there first. It's a cutthroat world, especially at that level, national media. It's, you know, who's going to get the story out there first? And he's usually got to get it out there first.
He's usually right.
And he is usually right.
And now you're knowing why, because he's talking to the people involved.
I understand that. And that's no secret. I mean, he had to be connected real, you know.
Way high. Obviously.
To get some of these concrete facts that he has reported on in the past. But when it's like this, a labor dispute, I mean, you would hope that he went the other way too. But we'll wait and see.
Yeah, we'll have to see what else comes out. And like I said, somebody's going to comb through what he sent to Bruce Allen versus what he filed to ESPN and was reported, what story was filed. Someone's going to go through there and see what happened.
I lost credibility with Schefter long before this. You know, you want to know why?
Why?
Do you remember the rumors of Bob Stoops going to Notre Dame?
Yeah, I mean.
He reported it like it was happening.
Well, him and everybody else. So did Dean Blevins. Do we not like him? Dean Blevins had Bob to Florida twice. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Listen. We don't have the time to talk about Dino right now in his reporting. But Schefter, when he went with – and I thought, why is the NFL guy reporting about a college coach going to another college? And he was concrete about it,
agent.
Too. And he never
– agent.
He never came back and said, I was wrong.
Agent. It gets a lot of this from agents.
I've never seen him report.
Probably Bob's agent.
Yeah. You think they're blowing smoke?
How much money?
He was reporting, oh, Notre Dame landed a plane in Norman, and they're...
He was on FlightAware, like everybody else
yeah.
was with software. Him and, listen.
When was that rumor? Like, yeah, I remember that.
Bob's agent made him more money. It was what he's supposed to do. It's amazing. How that happened.
Yeah.
Mike Gundy's pretty good, too, and I think it's the same guy. Lincoln Riley shuts down media availability after Tuesday's practice for the rest of the week. Obvious reasons why. Trying to avoid a young kid saying the wrong thing, whether it be Caleb Williams, whether it be Spencer Rattler, or whether it be one of their teammates. You know, the entire goal I think for Riley this week and moving forward is to continue to keep the team chemistry flowing as well as possible in this situation where you're making a change. And keeping that as much in-house in his mind is the best way to do that. Now, I think the genesis of all this is that OU Daily story where some students got in a building and basically watched practice through binoculars, but then reported it and said what they did, right? I thought Dean Blevins had explained this. We were kind of dogging him last segment, but I thought he explained this great when I was driving home last night. It's fine to do that. You know, you're hungry. You're trying to get the story. Just don't write it that way. Watch it with your own eyes, but have like a, you know, inside sources tell me, blah, blah, blah. Because here's the deal. Your sources are impeccable because you saw it.
Yeah.
You are the source. But
so they wrote it as we went up to this balcony, basically, with binoculars,
yes,
and we saw it.
Yes, we saw Caleb Williams taking first team snaps instead of, you know, we've got it through sources.
Right.
And here's another thing. If you do it the way Dean was talking about, guess what else you can do? Continue to go up on that balcony. You don't reveal your location.
They might tear down the balcony now.
Exactly. So that's the genesis of it. I understand what Riley's trying to do with the fragile nature of everything going on. You know, the goal is to keep team chemistry. The other goal, by the way, is to do everything he can to keep Spencer Rattler on campus and engaged as the backup quarterback in the event that A, Caleb Williams gets hurt, or B, he's not effective. And that's the best way to go about winning a national title season.
And isn't that the end goal here?
It is the end goal.
I mean, that's the end goal every season. But this season especially, it's been so amplified going into this season that this was going to be the prime opportunity, the prime season to get it done. And that's the end goal with all this. He's just trying to keep them all focused. He wants to keep that quarterback depth intact because, as it appears, writing on the wall, it is Caleb Williams going to be taking the snaps, but you don't want one guy getting so upset he's going to leave campus, and all of a sudden you're relying on Ralph, whatever his name is.
Rucker
as the backup. So, I don't know. I was having this discussion yesterday with a guy about, you know, how Lincoln Riley's handling this and everything, and at the end of the day, it's his program, you know. He's trying to do what's best for the program and best for his players. It's very frustrating for the media, sure, but, you know, it is his program. It's not ran exactly like Bob ran it. You know, you're starting to see more of what Lincoln wants to do, because when he first started, it was, this is how Bob did it, I'm going to do it like this. We're going to have that continue to do it like he did. And I was like, you know what, I'd prefer to do it like this. Has Bob ever shut down the media?
Not that I can remember.
He's always giving them stuff. Something.
Something.
I mean, how do you feel? I mean, do you? My approach again.
It doesn't bother me.
It's Lincoln Riley's program. He can do what he wants.
It doesn't bother me one way or the other. But here's the thing.
But we're not there trying to get the story.
That's exactly
right.
We're
out here.
That's exactly right.
We get the story from those guys who just got shut down. So
yeah, and so as the week rolls on here, and you're wanting to read about the game, or you're wanting to read about, you know, I think this would be a great time to hear from different players what their thoughts are.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's reasons for it, obviously. They're young kids. There's emotion. I think, boy, they're sure trying to get out there through different people how much the team really likes Rattler, which leads me to believe that that's not the case. And a big part of this is so that somebody doesn't say, thank God it's finally Caleb Williams and Rattler leaves. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because there sure seems to be a concerted effort through certain media, I'm not calling them mouthpieces, but obviously friendly to the Oklahoma program, that are getting out there as fast as they can and as often as they can. The team really likes Spencer Rattler. They really do. This is a tough, gut-wrenching choice. And the guys are having a hard time with it because they like Rattler so much. To me, that means it's total BS. Just the guys that are being used to get that out there leads me to believe that it's not the case. And the entire point of this is that somebody doesn't fire out there their true feelings about this situation and how happy they are that it's finally the guy that they all like and not the one they don't. I think it's as simple as that. To me, from the way outside looking in at all the aspects of this, that's sure the way I get it, is it's all about keeping Spencer Rattler on campus and making sure they placate to his personality and his feelings so that he doesn't just leave right now.
Absolutely.
That's just me.
I completely 100% agree. I just cannot wait for 10, 15 years down the road, and the 30 for 30 comes out about this season for OU.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a title season for anybody to care.
Yeah, I know.
Outside of Oklahoma.
It just seems like a full season of Friday Night Lights. All the drama.
Yeah,
guess what? There's a game on Saturday night. I'd really love for this media to break the game down, and we can talk about it.
It's already wind. Rat poison, I smell it. Coming up tonight, the Elks hosting the Weatherford Eagles. At least the headliner here in Elk City. 5-1 Elk City against 3-3 Weatherford. The Elks 2-1 in the district. Weatherford's still looking for their first district win at 0-3. And here's the deal. If we could play these games through the transitive property instead of on the field, this would be a fun one if you're wearing the brown and white. Because if you think about the common opponents within the district that these two teams have played so far, you've got Chickasha, which was a 38-7 Elk City win, and what was the score of that one? 27-13 Weatherford loss. You've got Elgin, which is a 56-6 Elk City win and a 33-27 Weatherford loss. But that's not the way it works. And so the Elks are going to have to go out on the field and have to earn a victory against Weatherford tonight. It's not going to surprise me whatsoever, Jared, to see the Weatherford Eagles come over here and play one of their best games all season long, and the Elks have got to be ready for a hungry, upset, and maybe even just a little bit embarrassed team from Weatherford with the way the district season has started out.
Yeah, we've said that's, I mean, going into this, as soon as the game was over last week, they better be ready for this team because, like you said, and let's face it, there is still an outside shot for playoffs for Weatherford. They just need a couple of wins in the district based on how we think the rest of the district could lay out. So you would certainly – and then, you know, they would love nothing more to come over here and spoil our season a little bit. You know, a loss here wouldn't necessarily take us out of the playoffs, but it would change positioning and maybe a position we don't want to be in. Does anybody want to go to Tuttle? No. Or Cushing. So, Elks better be on their game. Now, on paper and based on the film, it looks like there's an opportunity here for Elk City. But let's face it, it's still the Weatherford Eagles, and they're still going to bring the fight. They traditionally always have.
No doubt about that. I think, you know, it's a team that Elk City hasn't beaten since 2011. And throughout those games, some of those games have been ones that you could really consider Elk City being the favorite at times, and it's just not happening, you know, against Weatherford. And a big part of that is Weatherford's been very, very good defensively for a lot of this time. And to me, that's kind of where it looks like they've taken just a hair of a step back is on the defensive side this season from the point totals and then also just kind of watching the district games that they played. There's not quite the amount of physicality. And they're younger is a big part of that. They've lost guys that, you know, one of them obviously you see on Saturday. So, you know, that replacing a guy like that is a hard ask in towns this size. You know, you don't have 110 football players out every year. You've got 40 or 50. And one of those guys comes along every 5 or 10 years if you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's
How much of a compliment is that to a player like Ethan Downs? He moves on to the next level, and then the defense has taken a step back. He was that much of a force on that defense.
100%. I mean, you can play him anywhere.
He made offenses scheme around where he's going to be.
Correct.
And made it easier for the other guys around him to play defense.
That's exactly right. I'm anxious to see how Weatherford decides to attack the Elks from the defensive side. You know, we saw Chickasha send a bunch of guys, have a bunch of guys in the box. Elgin, it really started with Elgin. The Elks handled that pretty well. Bethany, they ran it well, but just in between the 20s kind of, when it really came down, getting closer to the red area and the goal line, the Elks didn't have as much success running the football as the field condensed. And so then you're talking about going for it on fourth down, trying to settle for field goals and that kind of thing. We saw that a little bit last week on a field goal attempt on the first drive where Chickasha stiffened. But for the most part, considering the numbers in the box, Elk City has ran the football effectively against everybody.
They have.
Nobody's held the Elks rushing attack under 200 yet, you know, in the season.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing that I think you can always – that you've been able to fall back on as you're an Elk City fan is, well, we're going to be able to run the football. Then what can we do from there? But I'm anxious to see if Weatherford makes Elk City try to beat them through the air. And if they do, then can the corners, specifically the corners for Weatherford, hold up against the explosiveness of guys like Hughes and Price and Garbarino – and Rivera Noblet on passes that are essentially long handoffs.
Right.
Those, you know, yeah. To start, yeah. And then, you know, how much pressure does that put on those guys? We saw it in what the I guess it was Chickasha. The first pass out in the flat to Drake. No, it was down at Elgin. The first pass to Drake goes for a touchdown. Then all of a sudden it's a pump fake and it's a hit him in the back of the end zone because you're so worried about getting guys to come tackle him. And it takes a few to tackle him a lot of the time. I mean, that one-on-one,
yeah,
it's such an advantage for Elk City against basically anybody that's on their schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's going to be really interesting. And then defensively, the Elks defensive line, they have done a great job stopping the run. That front seven, even in the Bethany loss, you know, Gilliland was one of those guys that's an all-district type running back. He had zero success. Now, the quarterback did. Last week, we saw Bo and the quarterback from Chickasha have some success running it. Malik Murphy, the big running back, none. He had zero success running it. So the Elks have been pretty strong against the run. We really haven't seen them face just a passing, throw, drop back, throw it around attack, which is weird because in years past, I guess maybe Southeast started that way until their quarterback got kicked out of the game. But even that wasn't like a spread, throw it, throw it, throw it. It was just a throw it down the field and hope somebody makes a play, yeah. type offense. So we really haven't seen that yet where, you know, teams, you know, are what you kind of see in the college game as far as just spread you out, throw it around and stuff. We haven't seen the Elks have to face something like that just yet. Watching Weatherford, some of that goes on when they have a quarterback in. But to me, stop Sam Hoffman, you'd go a long ways into stopping the Weatherford offense.
Totally agree. And glad to see – I mean, there was early in the year, didn't think he would get to this point, you know, playing. And it looks like, he's definitely a factor for them. He had – he came in and provided their only touchdown last week.
Yeah, through the air.
Through the air. So beware of that. But he's a really good running back or do-it-all back at this point for Weatherford. And that might be a thing because last week Weatherford focused in on the Chickasha running back, who's a good running back, and then that allowed the quarterback to have success on the ground. Could be the same situation where, okay, you got to focus in on Hoffman, you got to focus in on the Weatherford running back. Where is he going to be? And it could allow things to open up for Weatherford. And it's just a matter of how Elk City adjusts. And they've adjusted nicely to stuff like that this season. They absolutely have on defense.
Yeah, could Malachi Johnson have a huge game because of all the focus on Hoffman?
Right.
The Lions be able to throw it around. Weatherford had a big freshman, C.J. Nixon, number 88.
Yeah.
Had four catches, 60-something yards and a touchdown last week against Newcastle. He got nicked up. Wonder if you see him or not. We don't have any idea until we get there, obviously. But, you know, that's a weapon that's a big, giant dude that's athletic that you don't see a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he kind of had his way in the first half against Newcastle when they decided to throw in the ball, just little slants over the middle. He's so big and big-bodied and athletic to where you can't get around him,
right,
as the corner.
Post you up.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's like a 5-yard post-up route over the middle, and he made some plays on it and then had a jump ball in the end zone that he just out athletic the guy for and pulled it down for a touchdown. So those are things, you know, that I think Weatherford's offense, it has some different elements to it that we really hadn't seen the Elks have to defend much yet. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And things that you wonder if that isn't a decent matchup for Weatherford when they have the ball. And then I'm sure their number one goal defensively is obviously to keep Daylon Thompson bottled up as much as you can. It's a guy that's almost at the 1,300-yard mark through six games. 1,286 and 13 touchdowns is what I have him for. Completely unofficial stats that we keep in the booth. But you're talking about a guy that's inside of 500 yards away from breaking a single-season school record held by Richard De La Rosa back in that title season of 1998. So pretty heady company that Daylon's kind of scooting toward faster than what we probably thought.
And that's where the offense starts, is with him, clearly. I'm anxious to see if he gets bottled up a little bit. You know, we mentioned the passing game. That Bethany game stands out to me because of how many drop passes there were in that game. It makes you think, well, what if he had caught that? What if, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and dropped interceptions. But offensively, the drop passes – then that seemed to be cleaned up last week against, mm-hmm, Chickasha. You know, the downfield strike to Hughes, where he had to come back and get it, got it, and took it in. And, you know, I knew that was an anomaly for Hughes to have those drop passes against Bethany because he came back and made some great plays against Chickasha. So, again, I wonder, will we see more downfield passes, you know, based on focusing in on Day-Day?
Yeah, I mean, that, I think that's –
But he's the guy – you got to feed the kid. He's a kid that just gets – I've said it since day one. He gets better as the game goes on. So he might hit you for 2 or 3 yards at first, and then all of a sudden he's hitting you for 10 or 12 and big chunks of yards, and he's wearing the other team out. And that's a big compliment to the offensive line.
Yeah, that's – when you just watch and you see results from both teams so far, the biggest advantage – what it looks like the Elks have is offensive line versus defensive line. Now, we'll see when it gets out there if that holds true. But that's the one spot in every game so far this season that the Elks have really been able to exploit, and is that's that offensive line. We hoped it was going to be a strength to start the season. It needed to be a strength to start the season for the Elks to do what they're doing, and it has been. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. See about Tate Jones. I mean, we saw him out in the second half. The right tackle, Gage Eastman, came in. And played fine, but we'll see about that as we move along here. Haven't heard anything. You probably will hear in a little bit, but it'll be you know, it's still Weatherford, it's still Elk City, and it's still a game that the Elks haven't won since 2011. And so until they do it, there's still that trepidation about what could happen. Clinton Elgin, Bethany, Newcastle, Chickasha, Cash are the other games in the district. Merritt hosts Moreland. That's a 7 o'clock game on Paragon TV and right here on these airwaves. Got Fairview, Texoma, Hooker at Burns Flat, and Sarah and Thomas are the other games in A1. And before we go, coming up Saturday, that is this Saturday, the 16th of October, 11 o'clock. You know what happens at 11 o'clock at Sarah on Saturday?
What's
third,
that?
The third and fourth grade Little Eagles play, and then the fifth and sixth grade Little Eagles play after that. 11 o'clock, there's going to be a tailgate party at the football field. You got burgers, you got hot dogs. You got it all. So come out. It's totally a donation only, but go get you a burger, go get you a hot dog. Enjoy the undefeated third and fourth grade Sayre Little Eagles.
Love it.
Beat undefeated Canadian last week, 22-0.
Nice.
They're pretty fun to watch.
I love it.
Pretty fun to watch. So go eat, get you a hot dog, get you a burger over at Sayre. Watch some third and fourth grade, fifth and sixth grade football if you can. Had a question on the text line. Gabe Dindy. He's class of 22. We still haven't got to that. Huge commitment.
Yes.
On the defensive line for OU. That was what, Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday, because this is Thursday.
I don't know. I didn't see it. Riley shut down the media.
Well, thankfully, this was on CBS Sports. He had his own.
He reached out to them, so he shut everything down.
Some of the recruiting services have him as high as the third best player in the country, defensive lineman.
It's a big get. You said it best. Best defensive lineman recruit since McCoy?
Yeah, got to be, at least ranking-wise. Interior, for sure.
Yep.
Have fun at the football games tonight. Be safe. We'll talk tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.